I'll be reading from Psalm 54 and also Acts 3. I always look forward to the Sunday following Consecration Week. Seems like there's just always something special about this service. It's no coincidence or accident that we have felt and are feeling what we're feeling here today. This is what consecration births. And I would challenge and encourage you, if you like having this kind of church, let's stay consecrated. Let's stay pure. Let's stay right with our brothers and sisters. Let's live in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Let's live with a constant reminder of the cross, the price that has been paid for our salvation and the salvation of thousands more in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and around the world. Three years ago, the Sunday, it was not from today, but the Sunday following Prayer and Fast Week in 18, I stood in this pulpit and preached a message entitled, Dwelling at Bethel. The Lord took me back to that service while the choir was singing. And I felt the witness of the Spirit tell me that you have made it to Bethel. And so it's incumbent upon us, if we have, not that we've got it made, but if we've arrived, we got to do right with where we are. I don't say we've arrived in that we have no responsibility and it's easy street. But you don't get to Bethel by accident. You go there on purpose. And when you get there, for it to have its full impact, you've got to do right with it. And I have such a burden, and I feel such an anointing of the Holy Ghost to minister the word of the Lord today. And I want his word to be confirmed, and I believe it will be today with signs following. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. And then there's that musical connotation, Selah. That word means it's a musical notation. It means to stop singing, let the music keep playing, and think about what has just been sung. Don't move on, just the music's not stopping. As a matter of fact, there's some instruction given. Some of your Bibles may have a parenthetical statement before verse 1, and it says, to the chief musician Onejanoth Maskell, a psalm of David, when the Zephims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? Those are two Hebrew words, Onejanoth and Maskell. Onejanoth simply means it's a song set to stringed instruments. And so the stringed instruments begin to play. Guitars, harps, zithers, whatever they were using. But it's not just a song that's set to an accompaniment of stringed instrument. It's also a maskil, which is a didactic poem or words given for instruction, guidance, precepts, principles. It's intended to instruct. In other words, follow the instructions. And this instructive song, this song of instruction, save me, O God, by thy name. Hear my prayer, O God, for strangers are risen up against me. Oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. And the music keeps playing, and you just think about what you just sung. Save me, O God, by thy name. I'm in a fix. My cover's been blown. The enemy has revealed my address. Those that seek after my life have pointed to where I am, and my days are short-lived. What do I do when I'm in a place like that? The instructions are, save me, O God, by thy name. Acts, the third chapter. Last Sunday I preached about the miracle in Acts 3, the lame man at the gate. Verse 11 says that as this lame man that was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were wondering what was going on. You may be here today in some ways wondering what is going on. Peter began to let them know what was going on. And in verse 16 of Acts 3, he declared, and his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, the name of Jesus, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. There's power in the name of Jesus. Demons have to flee when I say Jesus. Sickness has to heal when I say Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. I want to minister the word of the Lord today from this subject, saved by the name of Jesus. Would you lift up your voices and you raise your hands, open your hearts. Let's submit to the power of the name that's in this house right now.
My God, I believe you. I give you the praise today. Oh, God, let the will of God. Oh, let the will of God be done in this place today.
Thank you for amazing and abounding grace that is in this house. Lord, manifest the power of your name in a greater measure. Oh, I pray revelation and conviction. Open understanding today that we might understand the scripture. And everyone said in Jesus' name, please be seated. I want to walk very carefully here today. I feel like I'm standing on holy ground. I will probably take us initially to some very familiar places in the Word of God. But for full power and effectiveness of the name of Jesus to be experienced, you must have a real revelation of the name of Jesus. If Jesus is just another name, it has no power in your life. If the man Christ Jesus is just an historical figure, just another prophet or preacher or religious entity, the name of Jesus will do nothing for you. But with a revelation, and with that revelation, faith and conviction about the name of Jesus, that name has all power in your life. Without faith, without revelation, the name of Jesus has no power. But with faith and revelation, the name of Jesus has all power. There is a great gap between no power and all power. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippians, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Somebody shout, "Given." The Bible does not say here that God just named him, but the Bible said God, the eternal Spirit, hath highly exalted Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. The man Christ Jesus, and hath given him a name. If I wanted to gift someone this bottle of water, I cannot gift something that is not my possession initially. I cannot give something I don't possess. I can't give you something I don't have. And the Bible said God gave him a name, which being interpreted is God already had that name. Oh my God. God had a name to give. And he gave him a name which is above every name. That's why Jesus said in John 5, "I am come in my Father's name." He declared in John 10, "I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, and they bear witness of me." A revelation of the name of Jesus. Amen. Comes through a revelation of who Jesus is. You can't really have a revelation of his name if you don't have a revelation of his person. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The Amplified Bible reads thusly, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God." I'm going to read that again. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God." Somebody shout, "There's but one God." We read in Isaiah 59, "God saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, because of what he saw, What did God saw? See, there was no man. There was no intercessor. There was no one to get the job done. There was no one qualified or capable of doing what needed to be done for humanity. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor because of this. His arm, whose arm? God's arm brought salvation unto him. That's why we read in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah said, I want to reveal God's arm. There's a revelation of God's arm. And then he started prophesying about the arm of the Lord. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Who? The arm of the Lord. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form, no comeliness. Who? The arm. I'll just read it this way. The arm of the Lord hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The arm of the Lord is despised and rejected of men. The arm of the Lord is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from the arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord was despised, and we esteemed not the arm of the Lord. Surely the arm of the Lord hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we had esteemed the arm of the Lord stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The arm of the Lord was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon the arm of the Lord. If you know anything about the scriptures, you know Isaiah is talking about none other than Jesus Christ. The arm of the Lord. Matthew chapter 1. The angel declares to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jehovah, Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. And then Matthew pens these words. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this prophecy is found in Isaiah 7 and 14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel is not Jehovah Jr. Emmanuel is not the second person in a Trinity. But Emmanuel, the child that is born, a virgin that conceives and bring forth a son, his name shall be called God with us. Amen. Yes, we believe in the Father. Yes, we believe in the Son. Yes, we believe in the Holy Ghost, but we do not believe that there is a Trinity. They are not co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal. They're not three persons or three personalities. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only God. God is Father in creation, Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in salvation. Amen. He's Father, God before and after us. He's Son, God with us. And he's the Holy Ghost, God in us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Who's he talking about? Who's he he talking about? A child is born. A son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name. His name. Oh, can I just preach it how I feel it right now? We know his name. God said to Moses, by my name, talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by my name Jehovah was not known to them. He's saying to Moses, you know more about me and my identity than the patriarchs knew. You know more about who I am than what they knew. And I've come to declare we know more about who he is than Isaiah knew. And Isaiah said his name shall be called. And but we know what the name is. Woo! Oh my label shatalabahaya. Let me start over. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And Jesus shall be called wonderful. And Jesus shall be called counselor. And Jesus shall be called the mighty God. And Jesus shall be called the everlasting Father. And Jesus shall be called the Prince of Peace. That's why you felt what you felt when the choir sang, when I call on that name. Because it's not just another name. It's the name of God Almighty. It's the name that's above every name. It's the name that demons flee from. It's the name that miracles happen in. Somebody praise the name. Maybe John 14 will make more sense to you now. When Jesus said unto him, to Philip, when Philip asked, would you show us the Father? Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. He's not saying I look a lot like my daddy. He's saying I am my daddy. He didn't say I remind you of the Father. He said I am the Father. Whew. Oh my Lord. John 10:10, I and my Father are one. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's a reference to the burning bush experience of Moses in Exodus 3. Moses said unto God, Lord, he said unto Elohim, he said unto God the Creator, he said unto in the beginning, God, he said unto God, behold, I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you. And they shall ask me, what is his name? My Lord have mercy. If you know so much about the God of our fathers, tell us his name. Tell us the name of the God of our fathers. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. What Jesus is declaring to his generation when he said before Abraham was, I am. The Bible then says they took up stones to stone him. They knew what he was saying. What was he saying? I am the God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. I am Elohim become humanity. I am God the creator become God the savior. Somebody needs to get in the name. Somebody needs to call on the name. Amen. Don't let Jesus be just another name, just another preference, just another religious habit, but get a conviction about the name. Tulsa Lighthouse Church 2021 is going to be a year of revival because we're going into this year with a fresh conviction about the power of the name of Jesus Christ. I'm taking my time here and going a little slow, but I feel the anointing here. We read in Proverbs something about the name of the Lord. And it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. They run into the name of the Lord. Maybe I'm being too meticulous with the scriptures and the words, but words mean something. The same psalmist that said, save me, O God, by thy name. That wasn't just words to him. He had a conviction and a revelation about the name. As a young lad, mid to late teenage years, he finds himself, because of his conviction about the Lord and his identity and the reputation of his God, he finds himself in a valley facing a giant. Goliath by name, the champion of the Philistines, the best the world had to offer, the best the enemy had to offer. And this is what a man with conviction and revelation says to his opposition. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. It's what you have. You're coming to me with what you have. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Goliath, you're as good as dead. Because it's not about what I have. It's about where I am. It's not about my possession. It's about my location. He didn't say, I come to you with the name. That's where a lot of folks get in trouble. They use the name of Jesus like a weapon. The name of Jesus is not a weapon. It's a location in the name. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Oh, hallelujah. We read in Acts 16, amen, about the Apostle Paul and this opposition that arose, this mocking spirit of the devil from this damsel making fun of apostolic ministry. The Bible said she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He didn't say, I come to you with the name of Jesus. But I come to you in the name. And the demon had to go. Because there is authority. There is authority when the name of Jesus is invoked by someone with conviction, revelation, and relationship with Jesus Christ. A Trinitarian can say Jesus and it has no power because there's no revelation of who he is. When they say Jesus, they're calling the name of the second person of a Trinity, and there is no Trinity to call the second person of. But when you understand that Jesus is God, I and my Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Before Abraham was, I am. When you understand, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Those are things that Jesus did exactly. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was Jesus. And so there were some professional religious folks in Paul's day. They said, Paul used it, we'll use it. So they found them a demoniac and they said, we're going to cast the devil out of this guy. And they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is how they did it. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now if Jesus saying that name alone got the job done, the job would have been done. It wouldn't matter who said it or when they said it. There's power in the name, and so it's going to happen. And so these men said, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul. What they're saying was, we command you in the name of Paul's Jesus. And the devil spoke back to them and said, Jesus, I know. That word know there means I have a knowledge of Jesus. I know who Jesus is. And Paul I know. That word means I'm acquainted with. In other words, me and Paul have been introduced. I have a knowledge of Jesus. But I'm acquainted with Paul. I want to know, does the devil know you? When the devil hears your name, does it get his attention? You hear this preacher today, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a child of God. I want the devil to know who I am. I want it to be said, amen, of me, like it was said of Paul, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. I'm not out chasing devils, but I'm not going to run when the devil crops its ugly head up. Hallelujah. I know what to do when the devil shows up. I've got a name that's above every name. Amen. And it's not the name. It's not the name of Jesus that Pastor Howard calls. It's not the name of Jesus that Brother Short calls. It's not the name of Jesus that my wife, Sister Walter, calls. But it's the name of Jesus that I know. I'm telling the devil will know who you are if you know who Jesus is. Because if you know who Jesus is, when you call his name, something happens. When you know who Jesus is, sickness has to submit. When you know who he is and you call his name, when you know you're not Jehovah Jr., you're not God number two, but you're the eternal spirit of God. You're the arm of the Lord. You're God manifest in the flesh. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, well, those with conviction, those that are living right, those in relationship. The name of Jesus means more to those in relationship with Jesus. There's too many people. They get distracted and disillusioned and disheartened because they say, well, I spoke the name of Jesus and nothing happened. There's nothing wrong with the name. There's a problem with the relationship. So the instructions are given. What do I do when I need deliverance? What do I do when my cover has been pulled off? What do I do when my front has been torn down? I've been found out. My vulnerabilities have been exposed. This is what the psalmist wrote when those that he thought were hiding him revealed him to his enemy. And this is the instructions from the Word of God. Save me, O God, by thy name. I'm telling you, when nothing else will work, the name of Jesus works. Save me by thy name. Oh, Jesus. And that's why this Apostle Peter declared in Acts the 3rd chapter, this is how the miracle happened. It wasn't just because we called the name, but it was his name through faith. Somebody shout faith. That word means conviction and belief. Pastor Howard exhorted earlier about faith, about conviction. This is what we know is going to happen in the service today. We believe it. We have confidence. We have assurance. We have faith. It's not because I know how to form the word Jesus. The Hispanics pronounce it Jesus. It's not because I know how to spell it, how I know to pronounce it, how I know to enunciate it. It's not just how I know to vocalize the name, but it's his name through faith. I've got confidence in that name. I have conviction about that name. I have belief in that name. Why? Because I know who he is. It's not very common in the English language, but in the Hispanic and Latino communities, there are many Jesuses. They name their child Jesus. Jesus. But I'm telling you, oh my Lord, have mercy. I suppose that there's some apostolics in Central America named Jesus. I believe that there are some men named Jesus that have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christo. They were not baptized in their own name. It's a different Jesus. It's not just a name, but it's the name of God. The name of Jesus is not a name above all names.
Right, right. Amen. Yes, sir. Come on.
But the name of Jesus is a name above all names.
Yes, yes.
Woo! Not Jesus Gonzalez. Not Jesus Aquino or whatever. Ramirez. No, not that Jesus. Not just the name Jesus. But this is the name I'm calling on. The name of the Lord. There's power in that name of Jesus. Somebody shout that name right now. And his name, through faith in his name, through conviction in His name, through belief in His name. When I called that name, I called it with conviction. And something happened. Saved by the name of Jesus. Let's stand together. We're living. We are living in a momentous era in history. These are memorial and monumental times. These are the days upon whom the ends of the world are come. We're living in the fulfillment of prophecy. Joel prophesied about this era of spiritual time when he said, shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. We're living in that spiritual era. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. We're living in that spiritual era. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. We're living in that spiritual era. But concerning the same spiritual era of Joel 2:28, 29, 30, and 31. In Joel 2 and 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It doesn't matter to me today what you need deliverance from. I just know you can be delivered and saved by the name of Jesus. Would you lift your hands and call upon that name right now? The mighty name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice right now. Come on, get conviction and revelation about the name. Come on, I want you to call on that name and not just enunciate and pronounce it and vocalize it, but I want you to speak it with conviction. When I say Jesus, I'm not just saying amen the name of that sound, but I know who I'm calling on. I know who He is. Come on, there's needs in this house. That conviction in the name will make the difference. I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost on me right now. I feel right now why God anointed me to preach this. There's things that need to change, and God wants to change before this service is concluded. There's things that you've been struggling with for about as long as you care to remember. And the name of Jesus, spoken with conviction and revelation, can make the difference. I have given you the ammunition. I have given you the material. I have preached unto you what thus saith the word of the Lord. If you'll mix it with faith, if you'll take the word of God that's been preached and receive it. To this point, hear me. Everybody listen to me. It's at this point in the service where so many of us, so many of the times, go into apostolic autopilot. Well, I already knew everything that Brother Walter preached about. I already have a revelation. I already have an appreciation. Everything in my life's pretty good, and so I'll just stand and I'll be obedient and I'll be respectful and reverent. But I'm speaking to everyone in this sanctuary. It's time for nobody to check out, but for everyone to engage. Did you hear me as I say the fear of God? You may not need the name of Jesus. You think right now, we know we always need it, but you hear me. There's coming a time when you will need it. And when I need it, I want it to be more than a name. I want it to be a relationship. When you need that name, you may not have time to pray through. You need to stay prayed through. That's why right now you need to obey the Holy Ghost. You need to submit to the Spirit of God. There's a wooing of the Spirit of God for relationship and conviction and revelation in this house right now. There's miracles and deliverance. There's salvation. There's a multitude of spiritual performances in this house right now. And it's going to be experienced by those who open themselves up and mix the Word of God with faith. And let's do that right now, everybody. Come on, everybody, engage your faith through faith in His name. There's some things I'm afraid of. I can be saved from fear by the name of Jesus. There's some things I don't understand. I can be saved from confusion in the name of Jesus. Come on, call that name in faith. I need some spiritual people to be spiritual right now. Come on, I'm not showing out. We're being serious with God. There's some memorials that God wants to be raised up in the Spirit today. There's some landmarks that God wants established today in the Spirit. No intention of saying what I'm about to say, but the Holy Ghost has charged me to say this. If you won't respond and receive a message about the name of Jesus, what will you respond to and receive? If you won't submit to His name and acknowledge, I have heard your voice and I surrender to it. I say this with all love and fear of God. You're in a bad place. If you can hear a message about the name and feel and witness the reverence, the solemnity, the sovereignty, the intimacy of the Holy Ghost that's in this house right now, and just stand there and look around. Feel a boldness and a witness and a fear of God on me. Somebody just got a word from the Lord. If you've ever called on the name of Jesus, you better get some conviction. You had better get some conviction. Call on that name. About what He does than about who He is. There's something wrong with you. power. In the name of Jesus.
Break every chain, break every chain.